Good morning and welcome back to our Sunday edition of America's Leaders from Coast to Coast, the 250th anniversary edition. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
We are moving from the man who conquered the West, James K. Polk, to the man who actually fought the battles to win it. We have arrived at President number 12, Zachary Taylor. They called him Old Rough and Ready. And Leah, honestly, this is one of the strangest and most accidental presidencies in American history. It only lasted 16 months, and it ended with a bowl of cherries.
The cherries. We definitely have to get to the cherries. But first, we have to talk about how Zachary Taylor got to the White House, because it is almost a comedy of errors. Zachary Taylor was a career soldier. He spent 40 years in the Army. He fought in every major conflict of the early 19th century. The War of 1812, the Black Hawk War, the Seminole Wars in Florida. He lived in tents. He lived in swamps. He had absolutely zero interest in politics. In fact, before he ran for president in 1848, he had never voted in an election. Not once. He didn't even belong to a political party.
Can you imagine that today? A candidate for president who has never cast a ballot? But the Whig Party was desperate. They had lost the previous election, and they needed a winner. Taylor was a massive celebrity because of the Mexican-American War, specifically the Battle of Buena Vista. He was outnumbered 4-1 by Santa Anna's Mexican army, and he still won. The newspapers went crazy for him. They loved him because he was sloppy.
He was incredibly sloppy. He hated uniforms. On the battlefield, he would wear a straw hat and a dusty linen coat. He looked like a farmer. New recruits would show up to camp, see this old man sitting on a mule chewing tobacco, and ask him to hold their horse. They had no idea he was the general. That anti-establishment vibe was political gold. The Whigs nominated him without even asking him what he believed in. The funny part is, when they sent him the letter saying, "Congratulations, you are the nominee," he didn't get it for weeks.
Because it had postage due. Taylor had a rule that he wouldn't accept any mail unless the sender paid the postage, because he got so much fan mail. So the letter from the Whig Party sat at the post office for weeks until he finally paid the few cents to pick it up, and found out he was running for president. It is just perfect.
So he wins the election of 1848, and everyone assumes he is going to be a puppet for the South. After all, he was a Southerner. He owned a plantation in Louisiana. He owned over 100 slaves. His daughter, Sarah, was actually the first wife of Jefferson Davis, the future president of the Confederacy. So the Southern leaders thought, okay, he's one of us. He will let us expand slavery into California and New Mexico.
But once he got into the Oval Office, he shocked everyone. He looked at the map of the West and said, "You can't grow cotton in California. It's too dry. Slavery doesn't make sense there." So he pushed for California to be admitted immediately as a free state. He didn't do it because he was an abolitionist. He did it because he was a practical military man. He hated the idea of politicians arguing over theoretical slavery in the desert.
The Southern leaders went absolutely crazy. They felt betrayed. They started threatening to secede right then and there in 1850. And this is where Old Rough and Ready came out. Taylor held a meeting with the Southern politicians, Stevens and Toombs, and he told them to their faces, "If you try to secede, I will personally lead the army and hang you with less reluctance than I hanged spies in Mexico."
That is a quote for the ages. "With less reluctance than I hanged spies." He was a Unionist first and a Southerner second. He had spent 40 years fighting under the American flag, and he wasn't going to let anyone tear it down. He was ready to go to war in 1850 to stop the Civil War before it started. History might have been very, very different if he had lived. He was prepared to veto the Compromise of 1850, which he saw as giving in to traitors.
But he didn't live. And this brings us to July 4th, 1850. It was a scorching hot day in Washington, D.C. They were holding a fundraiser at the Washington Monument, which was still under construction. Taylor sat out in the sun for hours, listening to speeches, wearing a heavy wool suit. When he got back to the White House, he was overheated, dehydrated, and starving. So he did what anyone would do. He ate a massive bowl of raw cherries and drank a pitcher of iced milk.
That combination, the acidity of the cherries, the bacteria in the unpasteurized milk, and the Washington heat, was a lethal cocktail. That night, he got severe stomach cramps. They called it cholera morbus, which is basically acute gastroenteritis. And then the doctors made it worse. Medicine in 1850 was practically torture. They gave him opium. They gave him calomel, which is mercury. They bled him. They blistered him. They basically tortured him to death for 5 days. He died on July 9th. He was the second president to die in office.
And because the timing was so suspicious, right when he was fighting with the South about slavery, people thought he was poisoned. For over 100 years, there were conspiracy theories that pro-slavery agents slipped arsenic into his cherries. It got so serious that in 1991, a historian named Clara Rising actually convinced the family to dig him up.
They exhumed the body of the 12th president. I remember this on the news. They took samples of his hair and fingernails to test for arsenic. The whole country was waiting to see if it was an assassination. The result? Negative. It wasn't poison. It really was just the cherries, the milk, and the bad doctors. It was a tragic accident.
We also have to mention his horse, Old Whitey. This is my favorite detail. His war horse from Mexico lived on the White House lawn. It was like a celebrity pet. He just grazed on the grass while Taylor worked. But tourists would walk by the fence, reach through, and pull hairs out of the horse's tail for souvenirs. The poor horse was half bald by the time Taylor died. It just shows how informal his presidency was. He was a guy who just wanted to be back on the farm or the battlefield, and he ended up in the middle of a constitutional crisis.
The general, who never voted.
And the president who stood up to his own region.
That is Zachary Taylor. Join us next week as we move on to the man who succeeded him, Millard Fillmore. Please note, AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com. And remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.